Welcome back to another edition of Stars Radio, your short track auto racing source, a production of the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Folks, glad to be back here for another Monday night show. Remember, we have some great shows for the remainder of the evening. Following our show at 7:30, we have Patrick Reynolds and Speedway Report. And then at the 8 o'clock hour, you have Bill, Barb, and John with Racing and Rocking to talk a little bit of drag racing. So we got a great hour and a half of Race Talk Radio for you folks here. But we're going to kick our show off tonight with a guest. I've been following for the last few weeks a little bit about some stuff about a new series that they're trying to get started. And I decided it was time to get them on here and find out a little bit about the information and make sure our listeners know what's going on. I want to take the opportunity to welcome Bill Petroff to Stars Radio. Welcome, Bill.
Well, I appreciate it, Jerry.
Well, it's definitely
glad
a pleasure. And as I said, you know, I've been following you for, you know, a month or so now, and I like what I see. I think it's very interesting. So I wanted to bring you on here and let you tell our listeners a little bit about this series that you're trying to get going. But before we started talking about the series, can you tell us a little bit about your racing background so our listeners are familiar with Bill Petroff?
Yeah, I mean, just, and that's kind of like where everything culminated from, is that I raced in the Slim Jim All-Pro Series back in the 90s and did some local Saturday night stuff in Salem, Indiana, Winchester, down in Nashville, that kind of thing on there before we progressed into the Slim Jim Series. But we left that series because it was sold out from being the All-Pro Series. NASCAR bought it out from a gentleman by the name of Bob Harmon, and a lot of things changed after that and that kind of thing, and it just wasn't really to our liking, so we kind of brought in the reins and put everything away and that kind of deal, and decided that, you know, maybe I needed to concentrate a little bit more on my business instead of on the auto racing. And then here it is, what, 20-some years later, a friend of mine that I met at the local Racing Connection, he had talked to me about, you know, maybe it's time to get off the couch and come over and play with some of the big boys a little bit over in Florence and Dillon and that kind of thing. And I was really kind of intrigued by that and thinking that, you know, that might be a little bit of fun. The only problem is that I found out the late model stock program was nothing like what it used to be. As a matter of fact, auto racing in South Carolina, North Carolina, and all these kind of things are nothing like what it used to be back in the day when I was in it. So I started talking to a few of my business associates and that type of thing about, you know, the status of what is going on with auto racing from the local level for the working man type of person that wanted to get out on Saturday nights and you know, be able to run his late model program and that kind of thing. The problem that we've seen, though, is that most of these tracks are getting 8, 9, 10 late models, the late model stocks, and there's a couple hundred people in the stands, and I'm like, well, wait a second here. This is just not going to work. What's the problem? What needs to be done to be able to solve that? And then through a series of about 8 to 9 different people that we have in this association with it, we all came up with the idea that, okay, one, people aren't getting paid enough to do this. As being a premier division at most of the local short tracks and that type of thing, the monies that were in it is just not there to justify spending the kind of money you had to in order to be competitive each and every week. So that, and then going into as far as the rules, what are the promoters able to do, this kind of thing. Well, we come to find out, from one track to the next, your late model stock rule is totally different from one to the other. So we thought, well, you know, this thing is so convoluted with different types of rules and that kind of thing that it just makes it even that much more difficult for the local working class type of guy to get out on Saturday nights and have fun racing cars. So what we came up with was an idea to, first of all, put a package together that was well funded. And then second, to go through and look at some of the local racetracks Not the bigger ones. This is not a Martinsville show. This is not a Richmond show. This is not a Charlotte show. This is not a traveling series. It's based on three different states, Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to get in each one of those states a program together where 3 weekends out of each month, we can bring all the late models together, the late model stocks, together in that state and run for a decent purse along with a good point fund, and then at the end of the year have a state championship, and then going on from a state championship to a three, which is where the Triple Crown comes in, championship between Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. And one of the big things was keeping it late model stock. Very simple rules, very simple, you know, to put the whole thing together, simple engine packages, you know, those kind of things where the average guy can go out and compete, and it's not going to depend on how much dollars he puts in the car. It's how well he's able to get his elbows up and get himself on that steering wheel and go. And that's kind of the best thing that we've done. And up to this point right now, we've been going out and visiting prospective tracks on which ones we're taking a look and see what kind of programs people have, those kind of things. Because one of the things is this is not a series, Jerry. It's not a standalone event. This is something that we can culminate in with the track's regular Saturday night show as a premier division that would race on that local Saturday night show at that track that weekend, and then maybe the following weekend it would go to another track. But it would be enough to allure all those late model stock drivers from within the state to come and compete at this one venue. Not a whole lot of traveling, not big pit pass fees and licensing fees, and you know, none of that kind of stuff. As a matter of fact, what we've proposed, it's going to cost you $25 to register a car for the night, and everybody else gets in for $15.
Wow.
Only because I don't need racers to be paying themselves to race. You know, it's a premier division that's offered on that local Saturday night along with the normal program. And that's pretty much where we've been going with it. So at this point, it's been quite a journey because there's a lot of obstacles to overcome with it. We thought at first it was going to be just, hey, let's get some people with some finances together that we can offer a justifiable purse to get all these people together at one show at a local racetrack on a Saturday night that pays a good pay point fund, this kind of thing. But it's so that guy that's working out there each and every day can take the time to come in on a Saturday night with his late model stock and compete with as many of the other people from across the state, and then going up into the Triple Crown Championship at a later time.
Well, Bill, you mentioned you had some obstacles to overcome. What kind of obstacles have you had to overcome since you started this?
Well, it's probably like everybody's heard. First of all, you've got the racers themselves. One of the things that we didn't want to do is come out with a rules package that was going to make everybody have to change their cars, their chassis, their engines, all these kind of things over just to be able to compete.
Right.
So we've been getting a lot of recommendations from people, different drivers, different promoters, those type of things, to whereas you can get the rules to back up to the point of where we're looking at something really simple on this thing, Jerry. We're talking, you know, big spring front ends on them, steering boxes, no rack and pinion, no adjustable shocks, no bump stops, no coil binding, no regressive springs, none of those kind of things on there, and truck arms in the back. Same thing as if you would have went back to the later 60s, early 70s of what NASCAR was running as far as on a chassis. Very
right.
Simple, easy to up for the upkeep. Doesn't take a genius to go from one track to the other to get your car competitive. And, you know, we think that's the best way to go with it, to get this is a program that's for the local guy. It's not for somebody that runs, you know, super late model series. And I hate to be able to say things about this with people, but it's not a series that's for people like a Lee Polium, you know, some of these kind of guys. This is for the local guy that wants to come out on a Saturday, go from one track in the state to another, not a whole lot of traveling, but a whole lot of return on his effort.
Right.
And even after crunching the numbers and taking a look at, you know, what kind of attendance type of figures you're looking at and that kind of thing on there, it's not hard to be able to meet or exceed what the financial aspects of it would be. You know, so it justifies itself from that. The other obstacle on it is, of course, back to the promoters. Because the promoters and the track owners, you know, they're excited about being able to have a show at their track where you can get almost every late model stock from the state that's going to come to it and is going to compete on a regular basis, which would be at that track one time per month over a four-month period of time for a total of 12 races in the state. And they're excited about that. However, then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, well, what's going to be my take out of it? Because it's going to be paying so well, we think that we need to get paid real well, and that's, you know, kind of some things that, you know, have to be overcome and that kind of deal on there. And we're still getting a lot of feedback from a lot of people that are excited about, you know, for one, backing up, making this thing a working man's division that's going to be at a local track that, you know, his friends and relatives and those kind of things can all come to.
Well,
you know, back like what it was back in the days.
Well, I got a couple more questions here for you there, Bill. One of them, you mentioned this was a series, or no, not a series, a premier division that was not for like the Lee Pulliams. Are you going to have some kind of rules in effect to say, you know, you can't be one this or you can't be one that to be able to run with this division? Or how do you keep the guys like Lee Pulliam and Tommy Lemons and D'Anthony Anders, you know, how do you keep those guys out of this division?
Well, I don't think that we'd want to keep them out of it. But what I'm thinking is that what we're trying to accomplish here, and it's going to take a lot more intelligence on the racing side of it than just what I have or what our committee has, but the rules of making it such to where is the Lee Pulliams bringing in all of their money or whatever that's going to come into it is not going to make any more difference than the guy that's putting the thing together for, you know, Toby Milliken out of Florence. Because what's going to be the difference on it is the driver's talent. You know, it's kind of like a modified version of an IROC show where, you know, we're trying to get all the cars to be the same, and the guy that's going to come and make it to the top of this thing is going to be somebody that's going to do it on ability, not on their checkbook.
Right.
Now, whether that's possible to do that, in the beginning it may not, because just to get everybody involved, there's going to be a lot of tweaking and different things like that. Well, the first year that we're willing to be able to do that, but the second year going into it, that's not going to happen. There's going to be, you know, when we're talking to car builders and we're talking to promoters and we're talking to, you know, even, you know, some of the old time, you know, drivers and that kind of thing from around in my day, that, you know, what do we got to do to get that interest back in there? What do you got to do to fill up the grandstands at Florence or at Dillon or at the Myrtle Beach on a regular Saturday night where they're not only going to be able to see the premier series of the late model stock, but they're also going to be able to see the trucks run. They're also going to see the mini stocks run and the street stocks. And, you know, and making this all a part of that, but having it as a premier division in a regular Saturday night show that, you know, through the proper promotion and those kind of things, we feel that if you can put 36 cars on the racetrack at Myrtle Beach, the stands are going to be full.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to accomplish.
Okay, well, you answered that question very well. You talked a little bit about the rules that you was going to have, and looking at your flyer that you got out, I see something that kind of strikes my interest a little bit. It says perimeter chassis with stock front and truck arms in the rear. Now, when you say stock fronts, are you talking about a stock clip, or are we talking about a regular tube clip like the late model guys have nowadays?
It's not like what the late model guys. It is a manufactured front clip, but it has the large springs on it, along with the jack bolts on it. No coilovers right. or any of those kind of fancy suspensions, any of that kind of stuff, with the truck right. arms on it. Because the problem, Jerry, with trying to go to a stock front clip on it, there's not that many left in the junkyards
right.
anymore.
That's the reason I was saying.
So you really can't do that. But you can still get a fabricated front clip with the large springs on it, no rack and pinion. You got to run a steering box, and you got to run the large springs. And then we're gonna put spec springs and spec shocks that you have to be able to run. And there's been some guys, and maybe as you go through on your programming here and talk to some people, we've even had a lot of suggestions like, you know, put RPM chips into the MSD boxes. You know, so that somebody, doesn't matter what they do to the motor, they're not going to be able to exceed an RPM mark. Because that's one of the other things. Even with the motors, we thought, okay, we'll just come out with a 604 crate motor and sealed and all that. Well, if people can get around the sealed portions of it, all those kind
that's
of
right.
things. And, you know, so there's not a really good attitude about that kind of thing there. So it's some things that we have to get to know better from, you know, engine builders and car owners and drivers and that, of what we can put in there.
Well,
that's going to allow easy inspection and easy compliance to the rules without spending a whole lot of money, even if that means like a claimer on the motor or, you know, there's a plethora of things that you can do.
Right.
That we're not settled on anything at this point.
I like the chip rule. I really do. We run the Frank Kimmel Street Stock Series, and he put us on a gear that practically guaranteed you couldn't hit the chip even if you wanted to hit the chip. But it does keep you, if you keep them RPMs down and you put them on a gear that you know, it's just, okay, this is the gear you got to run at this track here. This is the gear you got to run at that track there. I think that works really, really well from keeping guys from spending a lot of money on that 604 motor, which I think is a great motor.
Yeah.
I think it's got a lot of longevity built into it. Are we going to have a tech man that's going to go with the divisions for each state, or are we going to leave that up to the individual tracks to tech the motors based off of your rules?
Well, Jerry, we're looking at both of them because I think that it's important for us to be able to have, you know, a competition director that's going to be there to oversee the rules, but it's primarily going to be run by the local track because we want this to really be a local involvement, you know, but we want to have somebody there to be able to oversee, you know, make sure that, you know, nobody's playing kind of things back and forth or whatever kind of deals are. Because here's another thing that's going to happen in this thing that's probably going to shock a lot of people is that this thing, for one, it's going to pay a $50,000 point fund to do 12 races. Pretty much unheard of in the way the racing community is today. Plus, $2,500 to win. The last place guy in a 36-car field is going to make $400.
Right.
Unheard of, even when you're talking to some of these late model shows, the big, you know, the big late model traveling series and these kind of things on there. But what's going to happen is if you get caught one time cheating the rules, you're gone. You forfeit all the monies that you have coming to you until the following year.
Gotcha.
And if we end up to where all we got is 10 cars left at the end of the year, that's what we'll have. But there's going to be strict adherence.
10 legal cars.
That's exactly it. Because it's not for somebody that's got a lot of money to come in and play a lot of games. It's not for that. This is for the guy that's got a late model that's been sitting for the last 5 years in his garage that's just itching to get out there, but he can't do it because he can't afford to be able to pay for a set of tires every night.
Right.
You know, that's what this thing is going to be all about. And if a person thinks they can come in and they're going to circumvent all these rules by coming up with all kinds of new tech stuff or whatever, great. If we catch you one time, you're gone.
Right.
Until the following year.
Well, Bill.
So, and I,
our time is up for tonight. Man, we're going to have to get you back on here and continue this conversation on another Monday night. Maybe next Monday night we can have some more questions for you, because they're burning my phone up over here, Bill. That's where all these questions have been coming from, is guys sending me text messages and stuff. So if you're available next Monday night, I'd love to bring you back next Monday night. We'll answer some of these questions.
Maybe we can come back on next week and we can answer some of these questions. And believe me, I do not have all the answers to it. I'm looking for a lot of help from the community that's out there, and we've been getting a huge amount of help. And we want to make sure that that these people remember, this is going to be a working man series.
Right.
And that's the way we want to try to make the rules and try to make it to where people can come out and they can enjoy a full field of cars on a Saturday night that puts on a great show. I think if you put 36 cars on Myrtle Beach, you're going to fill the stands in, and it's going to be just a great program.
I agree with you 100%, and that's why I've been following you and trying to keep up with what's going on. And like I say, they just tearing my phone up over here tonight. I ain't got enough time to finish asking all the questions. But like I say, we'd love to get you back here next Monday night and continue this conversation, Bill.
Sounds great, Jerry. I look forward to it.
Thank you very much for your time tonight, Bill. Folks, we're going to have bring Bill back here next Monday night to continue some of this conversations. And all you guys that's been sending me these text messages during the show tonight, guys, I'm going to write them down and get all these questions so we can get them put out to Bill next week and get the answers. But we do appreciate everybody for sending all these text messages to us, man. Awesome response from tonight's show. Really, really appreciate that. Folks, it's time for us to get out of here. Remember, Patrick Reynolds and Speedway Report comes up at 7:30. Then you got Bill, Barb, and John racing rock at 8 o'clock. Our military unit of the week this week is the USS Gerald R. Ford, CBN 78. You guys are our military unit of the week. We'll see everybody back here next Monday night for another edition of Stars Radio, your short track auto racing source, a production of Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Good night and God bless.